ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् स्वस्ति नस्ताक्षो हरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. At least we will all remember now, Mandukya Upanishad belongs to Atharva Veda. So we are now studying the Atharva Vediya Upanishad. So connect the relevant Shanti Mantra for the relevant Veda. Atma Chatushpad. So Atma is endowed with four quarters, four aspects. Therefore Atma is said to be Chatushpad Atma. And Chatushpa, of all the four padas, the first three padas, Prathamatma, we can say, this Sthulatma, then Sukshmatma and Karanatma, the first three padas we have seen. And the Turiya Atma, Achaturtha Atma, is to be studied only from the seventh mantra. And here, the mantras, third, fourth, fifth and sixth, these four mantras discuss only the three padas of the Atma, Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Atmas. Three aspects of the Atma are discussed. The Sthula Atma, so, is nothing but consciousness obtaining in the waking state, identified with, associated with the gross universe, total gross universe, is known by the name Sthulatma. The Sukshmatma also is nothing but consciousness obtaining in dream state, associated with the dream universe, subtle universe, is known by the name Sukshmatma. So also the consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state, associated with the causal universe, is what? Karanatma. What is Turiyatma? We have to wait with our curiosity, and Gaudapada Acharya doesn't want to, jump to Turiyatma now itself. So one thing is very clear here, all the three, when you say Sthulatma or experience of the gross universe, experience of the subtle, the dream universe, or experience of the unmanifest universe. Even the unmanifest universe also is object of experience. Subtle universe also is object of experience. Gross universe also is object of experience. Therefore, all this, any universe, any experience implies the experiencer being there. When you talk about your dream, it is implied what? When you wake up from sleep, when you talk about your dream, you are meaning, you are talking about the dream experience, means without saying, you are saying what? There was an experiencer also. So experiencer and the experienced together become an experience. Therefore, when you say sthula prapanchaha, gross universe, or sukshma prapanchaha, subtle universe, or unmanifest universe, when you say, all of them are what? Each universe is what now actually? They're not, only they imply the experiencer being there. Therefore, Karanatma means what? Experiencer and the experienced universe. Obtaining in waking state is Sthulatma. So experiencer and the experienced obtaining in Dream state is what? Sukshmatma. The experiencer and the experienced obtaining in deep sleep state is Karanatma. This we have understood clearly. And then this is these five, these totally of these six verses, see the four verses, third, fourth, fifth and sixth, all the four mantras, the five mantras are very well discussed in Gaudapada Acharya's Karikas till the fourth Karika. And sixth Karika, as I said, the what Gaudapada Acharya presents in the sixth Karika is not the Upanishad, what not revealed in the Upanishad, said in the Upanishad, but he adds this here in his Karika as a vision, expression of his vision. And here he says, even if a person knows three padas of the Atma, what does Gaudapada Acharya say in this fifth Karika? Even if the person understands three padas, leave the fourth pada. Three padas as what now? What are three padas? There is a bhokta and there is a bhojyam. There is an experiencer and there is the experienced. Where in each state of experience, Trishu Dhamasu, in three states of experience, that which has been mentioned or well known as the experiencer, or that which has been mentioned as the experienced, where in each state of experience, Trishu Dhamasu, Yaha Bhokta Prakirtitaha, the one who has been known as Bhokta, the experiencer, Yad Bhojyam Prakirtitam, that which has been very well known as the experienced, Yetadu Ubhayam, these two experiencer and the experienced, enjoyer and the enjoyed, obtaining in each state of experience, these both are what? Actually, Ubhayam, Yaha Veda, one who knows. Yaha Veda, one who knows all the six of them. As what? Vishvaha Virat. No, then Taijasaha Hiranyagarbha, Pragyaha, then Antaryami Ishwaraha. I am using Sanskrit words because you have to learn these technical names definitely. All these six different names are given to whom? Only Atma, the consciousness. I, the consciousness alone, has these six names. Okay? All the names are what? Names of consciousness only. Consciousness does not have the name, but each name is what? Vishvaha is also a name of consciousness. Virat also is a name of consciousness. No, Hiranyagarbha, Taijasaha, Pragyaha, Antaryami, all the names are different names are of the only nameless, non-nameable consciousness. Isn't it? So here, the one who understands this, Yaha Veda, I, the Atma, the consciousness, am, what now? All the six of them. One who understands this clearly, Saha Bhunjanaha na Lipyate, even if he is experiencing the world, still he is not affected by the experiences. Generally, an ignorant person is affected by the experiences. The experiences, desirable or okay, undesirable, definitely affect the person. So here, Bhunjanaha means even experiencing also the external world of objects. That person, na lipyate, he is not touched by any of the experiences, not affected by the experiences. He is as good as a wise person. So here the benefit of the knowledge of three padas is said here in this fifth Karika. This we have seen already last class, but still I wanted to bring you back. I wanted you to come back to the class. Okay. Now the sixth karika comes. As I said, the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, all the four karikas discuss the one important mantra. That is the sixth mantra. Sixth mantra is discussed in 6, 7, 8, 9 karikas. And what is the sixth mantra? Sixth mantra talks about Karanatma. We have to remember what the sixth mantra says. Then come to the sixth karika, isn't it? Sixth mantra discusses the Karanatma. What is Karanatma? Consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state associated with Karana Prapanchaha, causal universe, is Karanatma. And there, when you say Karanatma, you have to understand the individual in deep sleep state to understand the causal, condition of the universe. You can never understand what is the causal condition of the universe. How it would be when the entire universe is unmanifest, undifferentiated, everything remains as one mass of consciousness. How it would be, you cannot stand outside and see consciousness there, isn't it? Therefore, it has to be understood through the model of your own deep sleep state experience. Therefore, now you can understand, who is the Prajnaha is also Karanatma. Prajnaha is Karanatma. So what are you in sleep? You are in deep sleep state, you are Prajnaha Karanatma. When I say you are Prajnaha Karanatma, Karanatma means what? Karanam. You are in causal condition. What does it mean there? You don't have causal condition, isn't it? Karanatma means Karanam. When you use the word Karanam, what is a Karanam? Anything in everything in potential, unmanifest, undifferentiated form or condition is called Karanam. Wood is the Karanam. Gold is the Karanam. Wood is the Karanam wherein all the names and forms, different furnitures are unmanifest. Similarly, gold is the Karanam wherein the cause, wherein varieties of ornaments, names and forms of ornaments are unmanifest. Also undifferentiated. So Karanam is that, cause is that wherein all the forms, anything remains in causal, unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. So Karanam is equal to unmanifest, undifferentiated condition of anything, a given thing. Similarly, when you say you are Prajnaha Karanatma in sleep, deep sleep state. Why? Because then all your knowledge of the universe, all your powers, all your problems, all your all the experiences, all of them remain as one, undifferentiated, unmanifest mass of consciousness. Then, because they all remain, where are your experiences? Unmanifest. Where are your sense powers? Unmanifest. Where are your relationships? Unmanifest. So various knowledge of different things and waking state, a physics professor, known so much of physics, various In deep sleep knowledge, in the deep sleep state, all your knowledge, everything becomes, remains what? As unmanifest. Where? Everything is unmanifest in you. Everything is undifferentiated in you. Remains undifferentiated, unmanifest in you. Everything remains as very you. Therefore, then everything is in you. When you come back, you means when I, so when I am in deep sleep state, if all my knowledge, experiences, differences, now my pains and pleasures, experiences remain unmanifest, undifferentiated in me, in causal condition, when I come to dream, I come to swapna, then what happens? Then all of them which remain unmanifest, they become manifest. They come to manifestation. Then when I in waking, when I come to, you know, sthula, when I come to waking from deep sleep, when I come to swapna, dream and the waking, all of them which remain unmanifest, thereby which remain undifferentiated, they become manifest, they come to manifestation and they remain differentiated. Is it clear now? When I come to swapna and jagrat, when I come to dream and waking, all that is unmanifest in me becomes manifest, comes to manifestation. Now, again when I fall asleep, all these manifest, you know, gross universe, the gross body, the gross things, experiences, again all the subtle experiences, all of them again go backward, become unmanifest. Again when I wake up, again when I come to swapna and the swapna and jagrat, they all come back. Come back, go back. Come back from me, go back to me. When? In sleep. Every day. This is called what? Nidra. Isn't it? Nidra is called a layaha. Nidra, synonym of the word nidra is what? Layaha. This karana, isn't it? Pragnaha, as a, you are as a pragna in sleep, deep sleep state. Now, we have to extend this understanding at the cosmic total level. Same thing, you have to extend this understanding at the total cosmic level. When the entire cosmos remains unmanifest, undifferentiated, in consciousness, it's called a pralayavastha. Pralaya avastha. Like yours is what? Nidra avastha, isn't it? Then when you call it what? Pralaya avastha. It's called pralayaha. When the entire cosmos with all its differences remain unmanifest and undifferentiated, it's called pralaya avastha. It is sleep of the total, is it? Total cosmic person. So sleep of the cosmic, sleep of Bhagavan. That's why I said, our sleep is bhoga nidra layaha. Bhagavan's sleep is yoga nidra pralayaha. When the whole cosmos goes, becomes unmanifest. Very, very interesting really to know this. This is an amazing fact. The whole jagat becomes unmanifest. All this thula prapancha, all the forms, all the names, all the differences, the karma, karma phalam, jivas, everything, even the manifest consciousness, isn't it? Manifestations of consciousness, all of them become unmanifest. They remain undifferentiated. It was one mass of consciousness. It's called pralayavastha. Again, from pralayavastha, what happens? They become manifest. All those which remain unmanifest and undifferentiated, the whole universe of the countless beings and names and forms, all of them become manifest, comes to manifestation. So there is nothing which is newly created. This is the important point here. Therefore, when the whole universe becomes universe of innumerably countless forms and names and objects and things remain unmanifest and undifferentiated, it's called what? Karanatma Antaryami Ishvaraha. Understand now what is Ishvaraha? So what is Ishvaraha now? Consciousness with unmanifest, undifferentiated causal universe is what? Ishvaraha Antaryami. So you can take Ishvaraha is Karanam. You may think I'm repeating. You have to carefully listen to me to get what exactly you have to get from here. I really mean it. So now Ishvaraha is Karanam. Like how gold is the Karanam, wood is the Karanam for the furniture, for the whole prapanchaha, what is Karanam now? Ishvaraha. Therefore, Ishvara is seen, said to be the Karanam of the Jagat. Karanam of the universe, cause of the universe. Then what is the name for the universe then? Karyam. Then universe is the Karyam. Therefore, this Karya Prapanchaha, this universe, Karya Prapanchaha means what? This Bhogya Prapanchaha, this universe which is available for experience. Now with all differences, the differentiated manifest universe, is it? Where has it come into manifestation? Where has it come from? Is it to manifestation? See, this entire universe, this coming into manifestation of this universe, out of this Ishvara, the Karanam. Ishvara, the Karanam, this universe has come into manifestation. Is it clear now? Therefore, this coming into manifestation of this universe from Ishvara is called manifestation. Isn't it? It's called figuratively creation. What is creation? Coming into existence or coming into manifestation of this universe which was already there as Ishvara, is it? Is called figuratively creation, which means nothing is newly created. Hope you understood it. Therefore, what was Ishvara, what is also what now? Ishvara. The gold was there before the chain, and the chain is what? Gold. But the whole jagat is what? The whole universe is? Ishwaraha. Is it? Ishwaraha. In fact, antaryami itself is a beautiful word. Antaha yamayati iti antaryami. That which withdraws everything into itself. Antaha yamayati. That which withdraws the whole into itself. Where, how? You can't, incomprehensible, isn't it? And that from which everything comes to manifestation. Which means, whatever is now has been already. Whatever has been, what? Was there already. So whatever is, what is going to be again? What is going to be again? What? No. Will be here. Which means there is no such a thing called creation. There is only manifestation. Therefore, here what happened? This is that therefore for this entire this universe, all the forms and names, what is the origin of creation? Where do these forms and names which exist now, all these existing forms and names, all these objects of experience, where do they originate from? Ishvara. Where do they resolve? What do they resolve? When they resolve Ishvara, when they originate Jagat. Resolve Ishvara. When they originate, isn't it? They come to manifestation, universe. When they resolve, there is Ishvara. When they manifest, Jagat. Therefore, therefore, unmanifest, undifferentiated names and forms coming into manifestation from this Ishvara is figuratively called creation. This is said in the sixth mantra. Okay, therefore, what he says here, Gaudapada Acharya says, there is this Srishti Vadaha is hiding in that mantra. Srishti Vadaha means theory of creation. The cosmology, the Vedic vision of cosmology. The theory of creation is hiding in the sixth mantra. And here he wants to stop and he wants to really say some striking points. Why? Because there are many views, many theories of creation. Even in modern science, there's a theory of, there are many theories of creation, like Big Bang theory, state theory. Like we have many theories of creation. And so many new theories are coming up also. But I tell you, no theory of creation clearly explains or comprehensively, understandably, satisfactorily explains the creation. And here, and then many, all the theories of creation, if you see, all these different theories of creation are all based on one strong rooted understanding, assumption, vague, unclear, wrong assumption that there is creation. Now you can understand any theory of creation, isn't it? Based on this wrong assumption, must be what? Wrong? Isn't it? Theories only. Incorrect theories only. Therefore, here, what he says, first he says, having made very clear what is creation, creation is a figurative expression of manifestation. And here, see, logically also, it is not possible for the creation to be there. So, no, creation is not possible logically. Scientifically also, creation is not possible at all. Because already modern science has proved what? Matter is not creatable, not destructible also. And even if you think, can you create anything here? If you say, no, I can create something. You cannot create anything. If at all you say, I can create something, you tell me what you can create. Then I'll give an answer. I'll ask you what you can create. And first of all, I'll ask you, who are you first? Then you tell me then what you want to create. Your body, your mind, your sense powers, your physiological functions, what have you created? Isn't it? So what is there for you to create outside? Therefore, logically also, creation is impossible. Of something is impossible. And scientifically also, creation is not possible. Which means, that even if we say there is a goldsmith, you know, created some ornaments, if you say, or a carpenter has created some furnitures, if you say, the furnitures or the ornaments, the carpenter has not created the furnitures, really speaking, he has not created the wood, nor has he created the forms and names. Even the names of different types of furnitures are already unmanifest. Forms are also unmanifest. The cast, the material, the wood also is unmanifest. Even the names and forms, different names and forms of ornaments, all of them are already unmanifest. Then material, the gold also is already there. What has he created then? There is no creation. All that he has done is the manifestation. Isn't it? Has brought the already existing unmanifest names and forms to manifestation. Is what is creation. Therefore, this is called the Srishtivadaha, is theory of creation, and here the Vedantic view of cosmology is Ajativadaha or Satkaryavadaha, which means the universe, nothing in this universe is created. There is no creation. It's a great misconception generally in all the minds, all the intellects. The creation, the word itself is a misnomer. There is no creation. And now he is going to what he says. When you say there's no creation at all, then you can, once you understand what creation is nothing but figurative expression of the word manifestation, then can you ask any questions? All other questions, first of all we ask, who created? If you say there is creation, now you can imagine all those different people who have these different views. Who created the universe? And you have to search for who, and after you bring the word God or Lord. God created the universe. Lord created the universe. Then once you use the word Lord, you have to ask what now? Where was God before he created the universe? Then question becomes unanswerable question. Because why unanswerable? Not that we do not have answer, isn't it? The question itself is wrong. Therefore, answers will never be available. For the wrong, for the right questions, you will find right answer or wrong answer, isn't it? For the wrong questions, you will never find any answer. Never find any answer. So here, there is creation if it is decided. And what happens? All these questions are possible. Who created? Then what? Again, another question. When did God create this universe? Where did God create this universe? How did God create this universe? Why did God create this universe? And it's like, if God created this universe, what did he create this universe for? And he or she? He, God means goddess or god, what gender should be put? I tell you, all these doubts, the questions arise, all these questions are wrong questions which will never be answered, which cannot be answered because the questions are all wrong questions. Why wrong questions? The questions are possible only if you say there is creation. The creation itself is negated means, then how can you ask this question? In Tamil, there's an expression. Pankthiliye ukkaradhan sonna, yella ottan sonna. You know, in marriage halls, they serve food for all of us in our Indian weddings. They leaves, banana leaves, and they serve food. And we all have to sit and eat there. So somebody comes and tells me, come on, don't go and sit there. Don't go and sit and eat. But this person complains, no, there's a hole in the leaf. What does it mean? You are not asked to sit. Why do you point out the hole in the leaf? Is it clear? Similarly here, when you say there's no creation at all, and then how can you ask this question, who created, who, what created, how did he create, why did he create? And then we make the God saddest person. Why? Because all the time making me unhappy and he's very happy. You know who the saddest person is? Whoever is happy seeing other being sad is the saddest. So Bhagavan also becomes the saddest person because makes all the jivas some diseases suffer. I'm very happy seeing suffering, the diseases. Oh, you, that lame person suffering, I'm very happy. Isn't it? Therefore, the whole idea becomes wrong. That is why Gaudapada Acharya really wants to stop. Okay? He makes us think, and this is what is the Srishtivadaha. In the mantra it is hiding. Where it is said Ajati Vadaha. In Ajati Srishti. Ajati Vadaha, there's no creation. And if then the question comes, why do we use the word creation? Even this so-called manifestation, figuratively, why is it called creation? Isn't it? Really, we can understand it's a figurative expression, there's no problem. Why do we think there is creation? Creation means what? Something which was not there at all before, something has come into existence newly, then it is called creation. It can be called creation. Is there any such thing called creation? Even in Taittiriya Upanishad, when I taught you Satkaryavadaha, when I told you, I said, something cannot come into existence out of nothing. Isn't it? Whatever comes into existence, cannot come into existence out of nothing. Something must have been there already. Therefore, here we say, why then there is a problem? The reason is, when everything is unmanifest, undifferentiated, Anything unmanifest and undifferentiated does not serve any purpose. I tell you why then there is a misconception that there is creation, that there is a error of everything, error of mistake, the error that everything is taken to be some creation, because something has come into existence newly, because what is manifest alone, it serves a purpose, available for utility, it is useful. Unmanifest is not useful. It is non-transactable, non-accessible, not, you know, doesn't, it's not of any utility. Suppose if we all go to timber mart and you can see the whole shop is lots of, you know, that wooden boards are, so many are kept there, whole big shop. And we suppose we go and ask him, can we buy some furnitures, some nice sofas and cupboards and doors and things? That person will say what? What should he say? He'll say yes or no. Tell me. If he is a Vedanti and he should say come, he will not say no, I don't have furnitures. He'll say what? I got furnitures. Can he say that? Why? He's a Vedanti and he'll say, all the furnitures are in avyakta rupena, in unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. All because I'm a wise person, this jnani, furniture jnani. So therefore all of them are here. How can I say no to you? They're all there, unmanifest. And you will ask, where are they? Because you all don't know any Vedanta, he knows. And you know, all, look at this, everything is there. All the furnitures are here. Which means, the unmanifest, undifferentiated. Isn't it? Unmanifest or undifferentiated. And then they do not serve any purpose, which they are of no utility. They do not, they are not useful. But anything useful alone for us existent. Anything not useful is as good as non-existent. Therefore, when something is available for use, isn't it? Then it is existent, it is common, it is existent for you. Anything which is not useful, it is as good as non-existent. That is why it is confusion. You cannot say, you know, somebody comes and asks for, you know, I want some sunflower oil. Don't worry, I'll give you. You come and give them sunflower seeds. How can you give me sunflower seeds? I ask for oil. Why? I want to fry, you know, murukku. But you can't use sunflower seeds and make murukku, no? Because it really doesn't serve the purpose. You cannot use the sunflower seeds to make murukku. You need sunflower oil. But you can tell them, no, what you want is unmanifest here. Unmanifest here. Undifferentiated also. If you crush the seeds, then oil becomes manifest. And differentiated from the husk, differentiated from the skin, oil is differentiated, manifest. Isn't it? Therefore, what is the idea here? Unmanifest is not transactable, usable, accessible. Therefore, unmanifest is mistaken to be non-existent. That Buddhism comes. Asat. Therefore, manifest is what? Useful, transactable, accessible. Therefore, that is why there's a wrong notion, wrong assumption. It's as if things are all have come into existence newly without having been there before. Therefore, there's a understanding is a wrong notion that there is creation. Is it clear? Now, therefore, you know, he's going to go there. He's going to compare this with other schools of other systems of philosophy, other schools of thought also. Few he mentions, he's going to elaborately discuss in the following, you know, chapters. What is going to be elaborately discussed, he presents in a nutshell here, in these four mantras. Prabhava sarva bhavanam satamiti vinischayah sarvam janayati pranah chetom shun purushav prithak prabhava sarva bhavanam satamiti vinischayah sarvam janayati pranah chetom shun purushav prithak. So here janayati, janayati means what? Creates. Now you know what is creation, so I can boldly say, when we say creates, you understand brings to manifestation. So janayati creates. Creates what? Sarvam. Sarvam means entire means what? The adjective should be understood as the universe in its entirety. So who creates? Now, who creates this universe in its entirety? Pranaha. Universe in its entirety means what? Living and non-living beings. Non-living things and living beings. Sentient living beings, insentient non-living things, chetana and achetana. Isn't it? Chetana implies what? Mobile and immobile also. Okay? So all of them creates. So chetom shun means, chetom shun stands for living sentient beings. Sarvam stands for non-living things. Chetom shun janayati. Chetom shun sarvam janayati. So chetom shun specifically he mentions beings with life. The living sentient beings, chetom shun. Chetom shun janayati. Sarvam means what? Everything here, which means living, non-living, mobile, immobile, everything, all the beings. How distinctly prithak, na? distinctly creates. Who creates distinctly, distinguishably all the living and non-living, living beings, non-living things, the universe in its entirety, who creates? Purushaha, pranaha. Pranaha here means Ishvaraha. And be very careful. Gaudapada Acharya, when he writes his commentary, he expects the student who come to this class to be a very high standard. No, therefore he uses diverse. Pranaha means for us, pranaha word means only one prana. That is what is that? Our vital air. Or if at all we know another word is what? Oh, all physiological functions. Prana, pana, like that. So pranaha here means Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha antaryami creates. Ishwaraha creates. The Lord creates. Who is the Lord for us? Remember. Ishwaraha means, remember, consciousness, endowed with causal universe, samashti karana namarupani, samashti karana prapanchaha, total causal universe is what? Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha means, you have to remember hereafter, Ishwaraha, Ishwaraha, Ishwaraha means, what do you remember? Cause. Cause means what? Consciousness with causal unmanifest universe. Total universe. And therefore, Ishwaraha Janayati means this Ishwaraha, what now? Has brought into manifestation this whole Jagat universe of living and non-living things. Pranaha. Who is that Pranaha? Who is Ishwaraha? Purushaha. Purushaha, I told the meaning of these words, Purushaha, many times before. Remember, Pure Ushati Iti Purushaha. That which indwells in everything is Purusha. And that which fills everything is also Purusha. Purayati Iti Purushaha. Like the reality fills everything, indwells everything. Like water indwells every wave, water fills the entire ocean. Like that, the consciousness which indwells every being, which pervades every being in and through, which fills everything here is what? Actually, the reality, isn't it? Purushaha. And that reality, consciousness, the reality, with the causal name and form, is called what? Ishwaraha. So, Purushaha, Pranaha, means the consciousness with the causal universe, total causal universe, what now creates means brings into manifestation this entire universe of this living and non-living things. Pranaha, Purushaha, Sarvam, Chetom, Shun, Prithak, Janayati. Distinctly brings into manifestation. How? How? You imagine your own dream as a waker. Now you are a waker. You understand your dream. As a waker, you see, you understand, I divided myself into the dreamer and the dreamt universe. I divided myself into what? The experiencer of the dream and the experienced dream. And I myself created how? What did I create in my dream? Living beings and non-living things. Mobile beings and immobile beings, actions and the results, pains and pleasures, all that you experience in your dream, all are what? How did you create? Distinctly. Did you have any confusion in your dream? Did you see things being sticking to each other? All of them are distinctly, isn't it? Distinctly, you could see everything. Differences were there, all of them were distinct, differentiated, different, many, plural, isn't it? And who? The experienced universe? Experiencer, the dreamer experiencer. Everything. And our whole dream is what? The waker. Is the entire dream is what? No. Sukshma is nothing but the waker. The waker is not the dream. But the dreamer and the dreamt, nothing but the waker. Because nothing is outside of the waker. Is it clear now? Like that. Ishwaraha janayati. Ishwaraha janayati. He created this, which means he brought everything into manifestation. Which means all of them were the whole dream universe, all the differences, all the living and non-living things, they were all latent, dormant in your antakarana, in subconscious mind. What was unmanifest and dormant condition of subconscious alone, later became thrown out, projected as the dream universe. Is it clear now? Similarly, janayati here, pranaha, pranaha means Ishwaraha, Bhagavan creates this entire universe of all the beings, means chetom shun, beings with life, the life forms, and the sarvam, rest of the other beings also, in its universe's entirety, he created, he brings it into manifestation. Brings universe into manifestation. Now, the next line, we'll see the first line here. Therefore, what do you understand now? What do you understand here? What do you get the point here? Sarva bhavanam prabhavaha satam iti vinischayaha. Therefore, there is definiteness. There is definite, clear understanding. Vinischayaha means nirnayaha. There is definite understanding. Nirnischayaha means definiteness. Definiteness about what? Creation. What is the creation? The creation is actually a name given to the phenomenon called manifestation. Why? Because sarva bhavanam prabhavaha, the origination of all these existent forms and names are of the names and forms which were already. Satam means already existing names and forms. Okay, satam means already existent names and forms. Munbe irikkindravaigaludaya, apna artham satamna irikkindravaigaludaya. The prabhavaha, the coming into manifestation or the origination, the creation of sarva bhavaha, of all these existent forms and names which are now in this world, is what? Is of the already existing, unmanifest, undifferentiated names and forms only. Sat means existent. Okay? Tat don't exist existence here. Satam means those which are existent. Of those which are already existent. In this context, you have to be very careful. Satam is equal to of those which are already existent. Of those which are already existent, how are they existent? Existent in unmanifest, undifferentiated condition. Therefore, so sarva bhavaha means that all the existent forms and names of living and non-living things, isn't it? Sarva bhavaha. Prabhavaha means what? Origination or coming into existence or the creation of all the present existent forms and names of different beings, all of them are of the already existing, unmanifest, undifferentiated names and forms only. Therefore, this is what this phenomenon is called, manifestation. Iti nischayaha. There is no creation at all. So Gaudapada Acharya first hits what? There is no creation. Nischayaha. If you have read the sixth karika and again you come back and sit in the class and any question comes. Nischayaha. What is nischayaha? What should be the nischayaha? There is only manifestation. What is this then? What is manifestation? Coming into existence of, or coming into manifestation of what was already unmanifest. Okay, iti vinischayaha. It is definite. Why? Because, isn't it? He says this, what is Ishvara if you know? You should know what now, antaryami. Ishvara means what? Cause. Cause means what? Karanam. Karanam means what? Karanatma. Karanatma means what? Consciousness with unmanifest, undifferentiated universe. Is it clear? Therefore, this is vinischaya. Now, he wants to say now, what is the nature of this? What is the nature of this manifestation? That is the next point. See, there is only manifestation is established. Then what is the nature of this manifestation? If we say manifestation, you can understand manifestation is mithya easily. You hear there is creation, isn't it? Again confusion comes. Therefore, later on he is going to say what is the nature of manifestation also. He is going to explain. And here he wants to compare, he is also comparing this Vedic way of cosmology with the other theories of creation presented by other cosmologists. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. You stop here? Okay. Now you'll all like it. Some story comes. Interesting. Now serious part is over. Om. See, initially, listen to me, don't confuse it, mix it with other classes, just for understanding, clarity, I'm saying. Illumined things are here, opaque things are here. Opaque things shine because they're illumined, and they're illumined because there is illumination. There is illumination because there is illuminator. There is illuminator because there is light. We talk all these different words. Illumined, illumination, illuminator, and the light. Really speaking, is there something called illumination other than the light? Is there something called illuminator other than the light? So reduce the illumination and the illumination, illuminator and the illumination into light. Just say there is light and the opaque. Only two things. Is it clear now? Light and the opaque. And similarly here, there is no, now we say the known universe is The known universe shines because the universe shines because it is known. The universe is known because there is knowledge. Knowledge is because there is knower. Knower is because there is consciousness. Now you can say what now? There is no knowledge without consciousness. There is no knowledge without the knower. There is no knower without consciousness. Reduce the knowledge and knower into what? Consciousness. Just say that consciousness and the manifest universe. Now I tell you, here we talk about two things, isn't it? So when you say the unmanifest means the potential matter. Unmanifest names and forms means unmanifest universe means what? Potential matter. Universe in potential condition means potential matter. Okay. Now say consciousness and the potential matter is Ishvara. Consciousness is it? Manifest matter is what? Jagat. And can we say that what is created here? Is matter created? Who creates matter? Matter is uncreated. Therefore, indestructible also. It cannot be destroyed also. Then is consciousness created then? What is created? Or did consciousness create the matter? No. See, matter is not created. Consciousness is not created. Consciousness did not create the matter. Consciousness also not created. And what are they? Now tell me, can there be illumined opaque things anywhere here outside of light, distant from light? Wherever you talk about the opaque, shining, only in it the presence of the light. So now you can understand, you need not talk about the opaque which is not illumined. You cannot talk about it. When I talk about the opaque, only when they are illumined, isn't it? Therefore, there is no such, nothing, no, not, never is it outside of light. So also, whether the potential matter, the unmanifest, undifferentiated causal universe, isn't it? Universal causal condition, which is otherwise called potential matter also, is not outside of consciousness. The manifest universe also is not outside of consciousness. There is no distance between consciousness and matter. Consciousness is distinct from the matter, but not distant from the matter. Inseparable physically. In fact, you have to say the potential matter is none other than consciousness. There is no matter other than consciousness. Okay? Because of the manifestation, you had to talk about as two things, really speaking. That is why you had to talk about what? Mithya. If there is no separation at all, there is no distinction, is not possible, then you not talk about the mithya at all. You can just say satyam alone. You have to talk about two orders of reality, isn't it? So what is dependently existent, what is independently existent? The shaktihi, the power, what is power here? The matter in its potential form is, potential form is what? Undifferentiated, unmanifest, potential, the universe is what? Potential condition is potential matter. Manifest is what? Differentiated, manifest universe, isn't it? Never does it exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, here consciousness is satyam, the whole matter, universe, unmanifest or manifest is mithya. We talk about it. Mithya. But mithya is nothing but satyam. Mithya is satyam means, where, how can I talk about the second thing? If it's all the mithya is satyam, then what is there is only satyam. Not one satyam, only satyam. Is it clear now? That's why here, even though we use these words purushaha and pranaha, etc., two different words are used. Why two different words? The verb is only one verb, janayati. He didn't say twice, purushaha janayati. No, then again another one more time. You were not asked to use the same, otherwise, even the verb is used only once. He could have mentioned, come on, janayati iti punaha yojayatu. It is not said here. Purushaha janayati, pranaha janayati. It's not said like that. Janayati means sarvam janayati. I tell you one thing. Now, when you talk about the illumined here, and we understand, we are talking about what illumination, talking about the illuminator. If illumined are illumined by the light, who would have illumined the illumination? Illumination is also illumined by what? The same light. Illumined is illumined by the same light. Illumination also is illumined by the same light. Illuminator also is illumined by the same light, which is intellectually distinguishable. Is it? Physically inseparable. Is it clear? Goes above the head or what? And there's no. We talk, there's three different words you're using. Illuminator, illumination, illumined. We talk this, use three words. There is no such thing, isn't it? There is no illuminator, illumination. Similarly, there is no knowledge or knower outside of consciousness. Experience of consciousness. Just say consciousness and the prapancha. And also should say, consciousness alone shines as the prapancha. This light alone shines in all these opaque forms. Because we our gross buddhi finds it difficult to appreciate the subtle fact. Anyway, don't worry. We are still at the very beginning of Karika. Okay? By the time Gaudapada Acharya will take care, he will see however gross we are, he will see that we all become subtle. Somehow, subtlest facts penetrate from the head. He will take care. Only we have to surrender to him. He'll take care of our things. Now, what do other people, you know, other people means the people of other systems of philosophy, you know, the other schools of thought, you know, have their view. What are the views, different views? A few views he mentions. Look at this. Vibhutim prasavam tvanye. Manyante srishti chintakaha. Swapna maya sarupeti.
Swapna maya sarupeti.
Swapna maya sarupeti.
Swapna maya sarupeti.
Srishti ranyair vikalpita.
Srishti ranyair vikalpita.
Srishti, he means creation. Chintakaha means thinker. Thinker. Chintakaha means thinker. So philosopher, not thinker. Chintakaha, enduhiravar. Chintayati, the verb means thinks. Chintakaha, thinker. Chintakaha, thinkers. Thinkers means what here? Srishti chintakaha means this cosmologists. I mean, people who are given to the enquiry into or the study of the origin of universe. The cosmology, so-called philosophers of different schools, systems. Manyante, they think. Manyante means they view, they think. What do they think? Means they say, prasavam vibhutim manyante. Prasavaha, see, the literal meaning of the word prasavaha means delivery of the baby. All Tamil language and Indian languages, all over India, the word prasavaha means, they all know delivery means newborn baby's delivery. Okay? But here prasavaha means what? Creation. Creation means what? Creation of this universe. This creation. Vibhutim manyante. So now, having said that, tu anye, tu means whereas. Twanye, if you split the word, tu plus anye becomes twanye. Tu means what? Whereas. Why has he used the word whereas here? Earlier he has already said what? Nischayaha, vinischayaha. What is there for certain? What is definite there? The creation is nothing but manifestation. Is it? It's very clear. Whereas, this creation is manifestation is what? Vedantic vision of the fact. Others are what now? Contradictory views, isn't it? Whereas, to anye, other, who are the anye? Others means what? Anye means others. Others means srishti chintakaha. Other, these philosophers, other thinkers, the people who have produced, created these theories of creation, others, vibhut prasavam vibhutim manyante. They think this universe is glory of Ishvara. Vibhuti means glory. For them, Ishvara is real. Okay, Ishvara is real. And Ishvara's glory also is real. And therefore, this whole universe is what? Ishvara's glory. Real glory. People of one school of thought say that whole universe is real glory of Ishvara. Okay, for them Ishvara is real. Now we can say, is Ishvara real? Okay, we should not say Ishvara is not there. Okay, don't say that. I don't want to say that now. We'll keep it for next week. Like next week's next serial, when it comes, all people, you know, some old people are sitting and watching serials, television serials. They're so curious. What's going to come next? Like that, you all breathe in the class. What's going to be the next? So here, srishti chintakaha prasavam vibhutim manyante. Okay. It's glory of Ishvara. When creation itself is not there, then whatever you think of creation is what? Right or wrong? You can understand what it is. That then, srishtim viprasavam ibhutim manyante. Then, srishtihi, see the second line now. Srishtihi anyaihi vikalpita. Anyaihi, by other people of other school of thought, and another different school of thought, anyaihi, by other people belonging to a different system of philosophy, srishtihi vikalpita. Creation is imagined or understood. What is srishtihi? Swapna maya sarupa. Srishtihi swapna maya sarupa iti anyaihi vikalpita. There are other people who think this creation is swapna Sarupa. Swapna Sarupa means what? This creation is as similar as the dream. But the their peculiar philosophers, for them, you know, the dream itself is real. Okay, dream is real. And the dream is real means this creation is as, you know, is similar to the dream means. What does it mean then? This creation is as real as the dream. You don't say that. Dream is very real. The creation is similar to the dream. Therefore, creation is also real, like the real dream. This is one view of the people. This is a view of one group of people. How? Why? We'll see later on. Why? How do they say that? Now that we'll see later. Thereafter, Maya Sarupa. Maya means this universe is like the materialized, like how a magician, is it? This universe is like the materialized object. Maya in this context means, no, that like Maya in this context, don't take other Maya. This way we have to be very careful. Which word is used in which context, isn't it? In what sense? Be very careful. Maya here should be taken as a materialized product, a materialized object. Like what? Nowadays, we know very well, there are so many people in India, they tell you, if you go and stand in front of them, so many people, they can just do this and they can give you something. They can do like this, they can show you like this, and they can give you something like this. It's called materialized objects, isn't it? And like even a magician does the same thing. He just comes and says, he usually, for me, magician means thin person, okay? Very, very thin. That's why I always like magician. And then very thin, he comes to the stage and jumps here and there, up and down, and shows, he makes it very clear he has nothing, he shows, his hands has nothing. But suddenly he does something and then pulls something, my God, from his mouth comes and comes, long, colorful thread keeps on coming. Isn't it? It's what it is. A magician, like a magician. Alike, the people of miracles, how they materialize objects and give, isn't it? Like that Bhagavan, this whole creation is materialized by Bhagavan. Which means Bhagavan is like a magician and the whole universe is what? Bhagavan sat there and then he did something through and the whole universe has come into existence. So Maya Sarupa means it is similar to the materialized object, is it? Like an object materialized by a yogi or a magician. We have an example in Ramayanam, we have Trishankuhu, is it? We have this Vishwamitra, we have this one Trishanku Swarga. Suddenly he thought that by his Siddhi power, he created one Trishanku Swarga. Is it like that? So what is that? Materialized object. Like this, this whole creation is real. Creation is very much there. It was not there before. It has been newly brought into existence. By whom? By Bhagavan, Ishvara. How? Through his magic power. Okay? Through his Shakti. Therefore, this universe is like one materialized object. This is the view of other people. So, three views have seen one mantra itself, isn't it? The universe is a glorious Vish Vibhutihi, glory. The universe is like a real dream. The universe is like the materialized object. Materialized by a yogi. Then, this is the two things. Iccha matram prabho srishtihi.
Iccha matram prabho srishtihi.
इति सृष्टौ विनिश्चिताः। कालात् प्रसूतिं भूतानां मन्यन्ते कालचिन्तकाः। सो सम् पीपुल् सम् अदर् पीपुल् दे थिङ्क् इच्छामात्रम् प्रभोः इच्छामात्रम् सृष्टिः। इच्छा हियर् मीन्स् विल्। गाड् हेस् क्रियेटेड् दिस् यूनिवर्स् यूसिङ्ग् हिस् विल्। द क्रियेशन् नो दिस् यूनिवर्स् इस् created by the will of the Lord. Lord had a desire, he had a will to create this universe and created this universe. That's why Prabhu means Ishvara here, the Lord. And their Ishvara itself is different, isn't it? Understand, they also use the word Ishvara. We also use the word Ishvara. But where do we, what is the meaning of the word Ishvara for us? What is the meaning of the word Ishvara for them? There's no meaning, isn't it? We had search for the meaning of the word Ishvara there. But here it's very clear. Praboho Ichcha Matram Srishtihi. This whole universe is what now? Created by Lord's will. Ichcha Matram. Just the will of the Lord. Mere will, matram is mere. It's a creation, which means all of them, the people, for all of them, what is, there's a creation is real. Creation is means it is real. It is no creation, only manifestation means mithya. Isn't it? Real, you have to say. Therefore, Praboho Ichcha Matram Srishtihi, then, Iti Srishtau Vinischitaha, the definite, this universe has been created by the will of the Lord. Which means, God once thought. There is no joy, it seems. Don't think I have talked to God or something, getting back to you. It seems God, no, all the time remaining non-dual. Remaining as Advaitam Brahma. Non-dual, second, non-dual reality. There's nothing boring, isn't it? You like, even though we all like sleep, imagine we had to be sleeping all the time. Had to get up and go out and see things, and then we had to see everything, and then something, some pain comes, then only we don't want to go back to sleep. And pain, no pain, only pleasure is there, and you don't want to sleep. Keep awake. Pain comes, want to go back to sleep. Whenever pain comes, then only you take sedative. Know that. When pain comes, you want to have anesthesia, isn't it? Local or something. Why? Sleep. So pain also will disappear for me. Pain is not there. You want to have some fun, isn't it? Like that. Here Bhagavan, it seems Bhagavan also want to have some fun. So what happened? Why should I remain a non-dual? For here that use the will, created this universe. This is the view of some people. Just say will, okay? Don't say, add all the stories what I told you. Then, some people think, no. God did not use the will and God did not create this universe. Let us not blame Bhagavan for creating this. Because sometimes we have to blame him. If the universe, sometimes the creation, we go through pains, undesirable situations, and we have to blame Bhagavan. See, why did he create this? Don't say that. It's all time. Because Now, even not only in India, worldwide, everybody's interest in position of planets. Which planet goes in which orbit and where, they don't see what is going here. They only see above all the time which planet is going in which orbit and who is hitting whom and who is seeing whom and then who comes near whom, who goes far away from whom, so that what happens for us. And then because of me, and then all of us, even not only in India, even in Western countries, oh, because of my date of birth, no? They see the date of birth, and when I was born, all the pants where they were, all my bad time brings things, bad things for me. Good time brings good things for me. So we all depend upon what? Generally, astrologers, all their calculations of whatever comes in your life is based on what? The time of birth, but not the time, isn't it? But we mistake what? For everything, time. Therefore, there are some people who think time is the factor which is absolute, which is not relative, and time is the creator of this universe. There are people who say that. We don't go into details of how they say, what they say and all that. But here, Gaudapada Acharya just brings to our notice. Come on, don't think. People are, no, there are people who really believe, not believing, who really say this is the fact for them. Okay? Kalat prasutim bhutanam manyante kalachintakaha. People who think, no, the time as the absolute factor, kalachintakaha, manyante, they think what? Bhutanam prasutim kalat, which means for them the creation of all the beings is from the time factor alone. Bhutanam prasutihi, creation of all the beings is from the kalaha, time factor alone. So the creation is from the time factor. Creation is real. There is creation. The creation has come in. No, creation is done by what? Whom? Who created this? Time factor. This is different. Another people of another school of thought. So when you say will means Bhagishwara, Ishwaraha is Satya Sankalpaha. Therefore, what? Satya Sankalpatvat, Shankara says, because of the Satya Sankalpa, the will, Satyam, isn't it? Therefore, just when he thinks that I want to create this, the universe comes into existence. By my mere will, by Ishwara's will, the universe has come into existence. For them, creation is real. That's what is the problem. Okay. Then we have seen this Kala. We'll go to next verse.
Bhogartam srishtirityanye.
Bhogartam srishtirityanye.
Kridarthamiti chapare.
Kridarthamiti chapare.
Bhogartam.
Bhogartam
srishtirityanye.
Srishtirityanye.
Kridarthamiti chapare.
Kridarthamiti chapare.
Devasyesha swabhavoyam.
Devasyesha swabhavoyam.
Hello, what daivasya?
Devasyesha swabhavoyam.
Devasyesha swabhavoyam.
Apta kamasya kaspruha.
So, anye, the other people who think, bhogartam srishtihi. God has created this universe for his enjoyment. Bhogartam srishtihi. For enjoyment. God has created this universe for his enjoyment. That means God finds enjoyment where? In creating all the beings and making some crawling, making some flying, and making some walking, and making with some with two legs and some with four, and under the two legs again creating all complexes, and making some feel superior, making some feel inferior, and making all different people with all different sufferings, pains, and giving some people only all sorts of all time pleasures. Is it? And Bhagavan sees all of them and he all them clapping his hands around, laughs and laughs and laughs. Means what a sadist Bhagavan he is, okay? Therefore, Bhogartam Srishtihi iti Anye. God has created this universe for his enjoyment. This is the view of other people. And some people feel, no, it's not for enjoyment, just for fun. Now, bhogartha means there's a purpose. Purposelessly, when you do something, it is for fun. Okay, it's for fun. Even kridartham. Kridartham means what? You all learned Sanskrit words now. Kridartham, bhogartham. Look at this. Kridartham, you know, abhishta siddhartham. Archaka does the puja, you all remember these words, no? Sarva Vishidhirtam Vivahartam. They say also Sankalpa when they do, for what purpose? Like that. For what purpose God has created this universe, isn't it? Bhogartam, for the sake of enjoyment. No. God did not create this universe for enjoyment, just for fun only. For his playing. He has no toy to play with. So created this universe. Then he is playing with this toy, isn't it? He has to have fun with the toy. What is this? Kridartham iti cha apare. Apare means what? There are other people who think God has created this universe for fun. Which means God cannot be by himself. He needs some, like which baby needs some sort of noisy toy, you know, something he needs, something the baby needs. And then other people need, and people of different age groups need different. Young person needs a young company, an old person needs an old company, or sometimes old people also want young company, or like different people want different company. Oh my God, without company, everybody is emotionally very needy, nobody can be by oneself. Bhagavan himself is, what now? Very emotionally needy person. He also needs the company of something. He just cannot be by himself. Isn't it? What Bhagavan he is. Therefore, Bhagavan also have fun means. And here what we say? No. We say, there is no creation at all. There is only manifestation. But when the universe is unmanifest also, it is intrinsically, inseparably one with Bhagavan. When it is manifest also, this universe is intrinsically, inseparably one with Bhagavan. When is the name and form wave away from water? Before the name and form wave came into existence also, it was hidden, dormant, unmanifest in the water. And after becoming manifest as the wave also, the name and form wave is still inseparably with the water. Isn't it? Similarly, the whole jagat is what? Inseparably, intrinsically one with Bhagavan, Paramatma, always. Before the manifestation as the unmanifest, and after the manifestation as the manifest jagat, differentiated universe, it is still nothing in this universe is ever away from Paramatma. All that you see always is what? Paramatma. When you say Paramatma is, means what? The seer is Paramatma, the seeing is Paramatma, seen is Paramatma, the whole, everything is what? Paramatma, Bhagavan, Ishwaraha only. Therefore what? there is no creation. Then suddenly the doubt comes. Okay, all these people get together and ask this Vedanti. Okay, if you say the whole jagat is Ishvara, all the bodies are Ishvara, all the minds are Ishvara. Now we can understand what? Having one mind, only tiny little mind, one body, I know what I go through, my God. All sorts of suffering, physical pain, what much I go through, the emotional what I go through, the mind, what sort of trouble it gives. That means Ishvara also must be going through all the pains of all the minds, all the physical problems of all the bodies. Is Ishvara suffering then? If I'm a small little sufferer, Ishvara is a mighty big sufferer, isn't it? He has much richer problems as I have, as a poor little individual, I have poor problems, and Ishvara, the big mighty, has much richer problems, isn't it? The doubts come because you say everything is intrinsic, isn't it? Inseparable from Ishvara. And here, no. Because the whole jagat is what? Mithya. You say whole jagat is mithya means Ishvara, is it? The Lord is unaffected by the mithya. The water can never be affected by the wave. The name and form chain can never cause any problem to the very gold. The illumined cannot, the color of the illumined, the form and shape, the dust or the fragrance or the stink or anything belonging to the illumined cannot taint, touch the illumining light. The illumined spreads, the light spreads over the entire illumined object, but still illumining light is untouched by the illumined. Similarly, Ishvara, the consciousness, okay, never, whether the matter is potential or it is manifest, is only which exists in Ishvara, in consciousness, isn't it? As part of Ishvara. That's why what now? Umayur Bhagatan. You say, isn't it? As an inseparable better half of Ishvara is this power. The better half, really. Now, being the part and parcel of the consciousness, this power, the manifest or unmanifest, this cannot taint or touch or do any harm to Ishvara. So, Ishvara is what? Ever free. Never afflicted. In this context, the doubt might come because the last line, Gaudapada Acharya says, why he says that? Devasya yeshaha swabhavaha. This is the nature of Ishvara. What is them? What is the nature here? Apta kamaha. Is it? The whole universe is, nature means what? Part of Ishvara. Part of Ishvara means what? Like how the ocean is part of the intrinsic, inseparable, is it? Inseparable from the water. So the whole universe is what? Inseparable from the reality Paramatma here. It's very part of it. It is part of it, inseparably one with this. Therefore, it cannot do any harm. And here he says what? And what is the nature of Bhagavan? Bhagavan is of the nature of Aptakamaha. Aptakamaha means the one who is ever fulfilled person. Ever fulfilled means what? Ever fulfilled means the person, the reality of fullness, isn't it? Bhishvara is the reality which is of the nature of fullness. Aptakamaha means the one who is of the nature of fullness cannot have what? inadequacy, smallness. Therefore, what? There cannot be needs. Bhagavan also has needs. What will happen? There cannot be. Because, see, reality is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, no inadequacy, no smallness. Therefore, what? There won't be needs. There won't be disease. Therefore, aptakamaha. Aptakamaha. No, ever fulfilled. Aptakamaha. And because the Lord, who is of the nature of fullness, reveling in fullness, is it fullness, whose swarupam is fullness, such a Lord, how can he have desire to have fun? This is Gaudapacharya's question, okay? How can the Lord, who is of the nature of fullness, have desire at all for anything? A desire for fun, a desire for enjoyment, how can Lord have all these things? Isn't it? Therefore, devasya, aptakamasya devasya, yeshaha swabhavaha, isn't it? Swabhavaha, kaspruha, what desire? How can there be spruha, desire for the Lord, who is of the nature of fullness? Kaspruha. Ka icha, is it? How can there be desire for the Lord of fullness? Lord who is of the nature of fullness. Limitlessness. Desire can be there only for the one who is complaining, one who is all the time grumbling about the needs. The needs are there, can be there only for the person all the time who feels suffering with the problem of sense of inadequacy. That is not that, this is not that, this is, I don't know. All the times that, no, the sense of inadequacy is there, sense of smallness is there, then the needs will be there, then the desires are possible. How can Bhagavan, who is of the nature of fullness, how can Bhagavan have desire? Kaspruha devasya, kasya devasya, aptakamasya devasya, ayam swabhavaha, kaspruha. How can there be desire for Bhagavan? Isn't it? Therefore, if there's, is it clear now? Therefore, very view is what now? It is Bhagavan has created this universe for his fun, created this universe for his enjoyment, created this universe by his will, created this universe, you know, like is all these different views of creation are all erroneous, because whatever theory they build up, they develop, that theory is based on the very wrong assumption there is creation. Therefore, all the theories are wrong theories. We should not say it, we should only understand it. If we say, we'll be hurting others. Therefore, the more we understand, the more we become silent. Which means, so that we mean there's no pressure to for this smoke to be pushed out. Therefore, we can remain so we won't hurt others. No? That's the understanding. Okay, so with this, now you can understand the 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th. The four karikas are, what now? The brief explanation of the 6th mantra, which now discusses the antaryami, the karanatma, the third pada of the atma. Have we come to the fourth pada? Not yet. Now we are all so curious, inquisitive to know what is the Turiya Atma. What is the Turiya Atma? In three itself we have found so much, isn't it? What is the fourth? Now we have to go to the seventh mantra, which is revealing the nature of the Turiya Atma. Beautiful. And this is the most, isn't it, significant verse of this Upanishad. And not only this, this mantra, seventh mantra, is the most important of even the entire Vedantic literature. Seventh mantra. Okay? So we won't have time to see that now. But still, before we go there, I have to tell you what we had to prepare you before going to that mantra. Okay, we'll read that mantra next week. When you come back, I'll do the class for you. So here, this time. Now, here what happened now, what is the nature of this universe? What is the nature of this manifestation? Is this manifestation absolutely real? Or is it empirically real? Or is it unreal? What is the nature, isn't it? If you say unreal, no, it should not be there. What is unreal? That which does not exist at all is unreal. But how can you say it is unreal? If it is unreal means, then I'll say your hunger is unreal. You need not go for lunch at all now. That which does not exist at all is unreal, isn't it? But how, you're experiencing this universe. How can you say it is unreal? But is it absolutely real? So that unreal means, that's what you read in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 16th verse. If you studied properly, you would have understood. If you have not understood there also, if you understand here, that will become clear later on. However, it is tucham means that which does not exist at all is unreal. Therefore, we should never say the universe is unreal, the world is unreal. The world is unreal if you say, it's like saying I am unreal. How do you find it? It's like saying I'm not existent. How do you, the people go and say, anybody, I'm not existent here. I'm not existent. I'm not here. If you say, I mean, they'll say you are fool, isn't it? Like that, if it's like as good as in Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said there, you know, one point. So if you say the universe is non-existent, it's as good as negating your own existence, denying your own presence. Therefore, the universe is not unreal, it's not tucham. Tucham is the word there. Then, is this universe then absolutely real? No. Why? Because what is real? Real means that which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which does not change, and that which is beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently is. Isn't it? The universe has beginning, the universe has end also. At the same time, in between undergoes a lot of changes also. Why do you say the universe is not there? There's a time it becomes unmanifest. There's a time it becomes again manifest. Which means undergoes changes. And then even it has no independent existence. Without I, the knower consciousness, the known universe has no independent existence. Therefore it's what? It is not real. Absolutely real. If it is neither real nor unreal, what is it then? It is as though. It is then what? It is as though means what? It is only in the present. It was not there before means what? It was not there. It was unmanifest before. It is manifest now. Again, it will become unmanifest later on. It won't be the same later on. It was not the same before. Therefore, in our existing also, what now? It is dependent on the knower. It has to become the known to be existent, which means dependent on the knower, the consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, it is mithya. Mithya means that which wouldn't have been before, that which will not be later, that which exists only in the present, while existing in the present also, which exists depending upon something else. The satyam for its existence is mithya. this is mithya. So the manifest universe, this manifestation is mithya. And here comes another doubt. Okay, we have understood three prathama. We understood no prathamatma, dvitiyatma, tritiyatma, sthulatma, sukshmatma, karanatma. We understood. So when do you know karanatma? Only in the consciousness obtaining in waking state is what? Karanatma, sthulatma. Consciousness obtaining in dream state is what? Sukshmatma. So similarly, the consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state is karanatma. So karanatma is available only in deep sleep state. Sukshmatma is available in dream state. Sthulatma is available in where? In waking state. Therefore, what is Chaturiya Atma now? Therefore, Karanatma is available only in waking state. Sukshmatma is available in dream state. Karanatma is available in deep sleep state. For Turiya Atma, what? I need a fourth state of experience. This is, there are people who think this way. Before going to this verse, now, there are people who think. So I need waking state experience, waking state for experiencing sukshthulatma. I need dream state to experience what? Sukshmatma. I need deep sleep state for experiencing karanatma. For experiencing turiya atma, I need a fourth new state of experience. Therefore, we all have to work very hard to have that new fourth state of experience. Okay? For them, oh my God, if you work for fourth state of experience, you will be eternally working for fourth state of experience. Isn't it? Therefore, it will never work. That means, what it is, etc., we'll see next class. Okay? Because let us read the mantra once and can go. Don't you all won't? I didn't say that you had to wait for fourth state of experience. Okay? The people think. Prathamatma, dvitiyatma, tritiyatma, chaturatma, turiyatma. So we have turiyam experience. That is why people think turiyatma has to be experienced in turiya nilai. I had to wait for the experience to happen, for which I had to meditate also. Very sure, they're very, very sure. You had to wait for the experience. For the special experience, a spiritual experience, and for which I had to make an effort, and meditation is the only way. Study of Shastram is useless. Don't go for these classes. Don't study Shastram. All bookish, all theoretical knowledge. The very word is there's no experience here. There's no experience, isn't it? There's no practical experience. There's no practice. There's practice also is an action, actually, isn't it? There's no practice. There's no experience. Nothing, isn't it? Therefore, this is completely different. It's all. In fact, Gaudapada Acharya, we have to study to get rid of all the misconceptions. That's how the buddhi becomes nicely sharpened. Really. Read the verse once, mantra once. We read only the mantra today. We have no time to do anything else. Because I want more time to go slowly into that. And see, please don't miss the class. And whoever is going to miss the class, they have to come back and join me on Wednesday mornings later on. Nantav pragyam na bahish pragyam. No bhayata pragyam. Na pragyagna ghanam. Na pragyam. Na pragyam. Adrishyam. Avyavaharyam. Agrahyam. Alakshanam. Achintyam. Avyapadeshyam. Ekatma pratyayasaram. Prapanchopashamam. Shantam. Shivam. Advaitam. Chaturtham manyante. Sa atma. Sa vigyaha. Okay. Just the mantra alone we have read. We'll see them in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.